I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Apparently, we have to say hello to
hello.
You.
Hello.
Thank you for tuning in, and we can't just launch into a conversation.
Just get a grab of Frank Walker, and that can be the start of our podcast.
Frank Walker.
Hello.
National Tiles.
Frank Walker, National Tiles.
Let's hear it.
Hello. That's it.
We should do a game of the person who can best
she can't
impersonate
see Aaron.
Frank Walker. What are you doing?
He wanted you to end it there. This is the show. We'll talk about Frank Walker after.
Goodbye.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Guys, cold and flu season is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, am excited because it means the resurgence of my beloved neti pot. I spoke about it last week, Sarah.
You spoke about it last year. Like, you are passionate. In fact, a neti pot has become your hobby at this time of year.
Absolutely. Now, if you don't know what a neti pot is, it's a miraculous design that has been around for centuries and it is on the rise, mark my words. So you can get a ceramic version or a plastic version. It's a little container. Imagine like a cross between a teeny tiny little teapot and an Aladdin's lamp. Okay, something like that. Now, it is designed to flush out debris or mucus from the nasal cavity, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And it is a wondrous invention when it comes to treating allergy symptoms, sinus problems, you name it. You know what? If you've got a sore head, neti pot.
Mm-hmm.
If you have tinea, neti pot.
No, tinea doesn't work.
I'm saying use it for everything because it is joyful. It's like a warm brain bath.
Yes.
That's how I describe it. Now,
so you're saying it's a little teapot, you know, like Aladdin's lamp. So instead of rubbing it and getting out a genie, you flush it and get out the greenies.
Well, that's right, because you put in warm, sterilized water and saline solution, and it is heaven. Okay, now last week I said to you, have you ever neti potted? And you said,
no.
That's right. And I was mouth agape, couldn't believe it. Now, I want to kick this off and I want to try and get you across the line. I want people to convince you. And I'm wondering if anyone else listening to us on 13 10 60, have you neti potted? Are you a neti potter?
Has a neti pot enriched your life?
Yes.
Something I've noticed from when we talk about this around the office, a lot of people realise they did it like when they were like 12.
Really, Scott?
Yeah. So,
really?
So there'll probably be people who don't know the term neti pot, but they're like, oh yeah, that little teapot
thing. It's like a nose hose. You push it up a nostril and water comes out your mouth. I mean, I walked in on Lee's
doing it last year. It doesn't come out of your mouth. You tilt your head sideways. You put the little plastic spout gently on an upper nostril. You open your mouth because you've got to create a passage. You pour the water in and it comes out the other nostril.
Right.
Okay, it's irrigation, nasal irrigation.
Can you run through those instructions to the tune of I'm a little teapot?
100%.
I'm a little neti pot short.
Guys, I'm really passionate about it and I need you to call in on 13 10 60. We need to get Sarah across the line here. Have you neti potted?
At any point in your life, you don't need to be as pro as Lee's. 13 10 60, have you shoved a mini teapot up your nose? Have you ever neti potted?
Michael on 13 10 60, are you a neti potter?
Definitely.
Michael, it's like music to my ears. Talk me through how you and the neti pot became one.
Well, my wife actually had nasal constructive surgery. And she was on it because she has to do that to keep it clean, her nostrils clean and all that kind of stuff. And, I was like, what's this? And, she's like, it helps clean all your sinuses out and really good for when you're sick and stuff like that. And, I started using it and I haven't turned back.
So how often are you using? Are you using it when a little cold and sniffle comes along or do you just use it on the reg?
I use it on the reg, actually.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, like once a week or
Probably. Well, it depends how I feel because I work outside and, you know, I'm in the dust and all that kind of stuff. So maybe two times a week.
Are you a tradie, Michael?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. So, see, Sarah, it has multiple uses. It's not just for sinus congestion or allergies. It's actually you're rinsing debris from your nozzies.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I have no leg to stand on. Michael sounds very convincing here. Let's go to Elias on 13 10 60. Are you dotty about the neti potty, Elias?
I love the neti potty. I've been using it for years.
Okay, like how long have you been using it for, Elias?
So we have, you know, huge pollen problems in the States. So about 8 years ago, you know, you could literally see the yellow covering your car. So I would have the itchy eyes and itchy, you know, nose and stuff like that. And one of the techs for one of the hospitals I used to work at said, listen, go to the, you know, local pharmacy, buy the neti pot, try it, and you'll never regret it. So I've been using it for about 8 years, wow, off and on, more so when, you know, like high pollen season or like the last corner. So I work outdoors a lot too, and actually came home sick from overnight work tonight. So I've actually used it tonight to try and just clear the head and clear the nasal cavities and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, you sound very calm, Elias. Does it give you a, is it a relaxation for?
Oh, it is, Elias, isn't it?
It is.
Isn't it the most delightful sensation? The minute that water goes up your nose and around your cavity.
You know, and I see this is where I'm struggling, because when I get dunked under waves at the beach and water goes up my nose and what have you, that's not relaxing.
But it's not like that at all. It's, if you are frightened of that sensation, it is the opposite.
All right,
to that.
So you're saying I give it a shot, Elias.
Yeah, give it a shot. So like Lee said, it's very relaxing. You just have to remember that, you know, even though it's coming through your nasal cavities and your nose, you still have to, you can breathe. So you can
absolutely
do it for 30, 40 seconds at a time, and then swap to it the other side, and it just clears the whole head.
Wow, it sounds like quite the nasal workout.
I'm telling you, this is a resurgence. I'm bringing it back, and you're going to be my guinea pig.
This is you all over when we tried to bring back masseur sandals again because you were passionate. Now you're going retro with the neti pot and bringing it back to the people, and I'm your guinea pig first call.
If you can do it, everyone else can, Sarah.
We're going to make Sarah try it.
Hell yes, she's just agreed to it. I'm running with this.
Are we doing it on air? Is this going to be one of those in case it fails?
We are doing it on air.
Oh, I can't wait.
We need basins. We need neti pots. We need saline solution.
Give us till Friday. Let's organise it all.
Yeah, we need to get all the stuff.
And Sarah is going to try and Australian radio first. Sarah is going to try the neti pod live on air.
I'm not happy about it.
Oh,
I'll demonstrate.
Last week I treated myself to a manicure at a nail bar, right? And it feels very special when I'm presented with folders upon folders of nail colours. And I feel like I have a mini brain meltdown just trying to choose the perfect shade of nude.
Right.
It's a battle.
Yes.
And once you've got the colours done, then you have to choose the shape of your nails. Now, I'm very boring and I always go for like a square or an oval shape. But I tell you what, like there is about 10 shapes you can choose from, and they slowly graduate to, like a talon.
I like Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands. Like nails I've only ever seen before on anteaters, and they use them for a purpose.
Giant,
you know, to
slots in South Africa.
through anteaters. You get, and also I've seen them on Married at First Sight contestants, okay?
I mean, our nails are so short, Sarah.
Yeah,
you
not,
and I, we don't really have any nails.
No.
I'm not much of a girly girl, so I actually hate going to nail salons.
Well, and here's the thing. I always get there and I feel like, God, Sarah, you're so boring. Put some glitter on there. Add a diamante. Why don't you put a bit
not
of a point?
A diamond.
That's
because
the trend.
You know why you don't do those things? Because you're a sane woman.
Well,
you are
this
sane.
This has been reaffirmed to me because a bloke has shared a tongue-in-cheek book called Nails at First Sight, and it's basically a guide to help bros figure out whether a girl is a good choice. So the blurb is, tired of chasing the wrong girl? Just found out your girl is psycho? Want to know the signs before making that investment? My book, Nails at First Sight, will help you.
Yeah,
and
right.
He's included a foolproof survival guide. Tips like, if the colour's on the rainbow, run.
Okay, so anything.
They can use their nails as a weapon, run.
Okay. So we would definitely pass his test.
We would pass. So he's saying, look at colour, shape and length. Safe colour shades are all the natural colours, like nudes and beiges.
Okay.
And, you know, anything that's pointed, black, red, orange, anything that basically the colour of snake could be, I think. It's like warning wildlife signs. What do you think, Scott?
No,
you're a red-blooded male.
100% agree.
I mean,
with
this
you.
Is the favourite part of this survival guide to me. Okay, so he's talking about girls with safe colour shade nails. That's you and I, Sarah. He says, guaranteed to be safe. You can sleep with two eyes closed. You don't have to hold your tackle while you're sleeping. And you might expect breakfast in the morning. I mean, he's got us figured out.
I mean, I have so many questions about ladies who have really long talon-shaped nails because I don't know how you function in day-to-day life. Like, surely you just have to use the pads of your fingers like a tree frog climbing a window. How can you type at a computer with them? It must be irritating.
I couldn't do it at all. I'm a nail biter. I'm a nail biter from way back, Sarah. I can't do it.
Either way, I think we're on the safe guide. I think we've passed the nail guide survival test 101. First. But it did make me laugh.
Men first time for everything, hey.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Thank goodness it's hump day. That's all I can say. Right?
Well, it would be better if it's hump day, if we've actually got a
I've
humpy
got it.
Story. Have we got one?
I've got one.
Play it.
Camels of the world.
Spice up your life.
Every hump and every whore.
Spice up your life.
Yes, you know we like to take things very literally on this show. Hump day really takes off if we find an amazing camel story in the news of the globe. And Lise, I think you've delivered today.
Well, the thing is, camels just keep getting better and better in my mind. This news brings to light just how stunning of an animal a camel really is. It's underrated. Now, wrap your heads around this. A dancing camel. I repeat, a dancing camel has been spotted on an Orlando expressway in Florida. Okay, a man and his family were driving to church on a Sunday morning last week, and before they knew it, their vehicle was behind a travelling petting zoo, like a transformed school bus.
Like Noah's Ark,
exactly,
but on the road.
On wheels. Now, out the back of the school bus, a beautiful camel named Sir Gus Jr., was doing a bit of a boogie out the back. He had his neck stretched out and he was doing a sign.
How do they know his name?
Well, because it said it on the bus.
Oh, my God.
It said Sir Gus Jr. And Sir Gus was doing quite the dance move, side to side. The video's gone viral. People, traffic slowed on the highway. They were like, this is the most beautiful sight we've ever seen. It was like Bird Box, but the opposite.
Wow. And all on the way
Amazing.
To church. I mean,
on
that's
the way
some
to church.
Divine intervention.
And as it turns out, Sir Gus Jr. is quite the famous camel. He's a mascot for a baseball team over there. And he was on his way to make people happy
to party,
baseball.
To dance,
he was
to just
practicing.
Break it down.
That was his backstage,
get jiggy
basically.
With your humps.
I
yes.
mean, who knew camels were so extraordinary?
I think we always did, Lise. You
I
and
think
I
so
did.
Too.
And that's why it's so important on days like Hump Day that the rest of the masses
share.
Get a glimpse into the glory that is a dromedary.
Remember when my husband wanted to get a camel?
I mean, how
I'm nearly
could I
there.
Forget?
I am nearly there with news like this.
If anything, it's just tipping you over the line. Don't you want a dancing camel in your life?
I really do.
Do you reckon that journalist in the States when they wrote that story thought, this is so groundbreaking, I bet your radio shows in Australia talk about this. Or do you reckon we just chose a boring news story? I mean, it's up
no,
to you guys
no,
to decide.
It's never I mean, if you've got
Scott.
A camel story in Australia that comes across your path, send it to us.
Hashtag hump day.
Wow, you're so excited. Upward inflection, Lise.
Hashtag hump day.
Hump day.
Those
know,
two girls.
I know.
But there's no doubt about it. As a parent, as a good parent, you want your child to do their best and achieve their best in life, don't you?
Absolutely.
Right. Well, that's all well and good, but sometimes parents take it a little too far. In fact, they triple jump over the mark of what's okay to do. And this story, I think, is going to be popping up in the news all across the globe today. And it is that TV stars over in America, Felicity Huffman, who we all know from Desperate Housewives, and Lori Loughlin. Lachlan, rather, from Full House, are both facing up to 5 years jail, along with 46 other high-profile Americans, from lawyers and CEOs, after they've rigged the system to get their kids into top American unis.
Yeah.
Now, the drive to get into elite colleges over in the States is huge, and I don't think it exists here in Australia, thankfully. Do you, Lise? You've
lived in the US. No, it doesn't. Yeah, no, that's right, because here in Australia, obviously, we have schemes provided by the government where you have where there's almost a payment plan for your university, and the fees are nowhere near what they are over in the States. So basically, these two actresses, as well as lots of white-collar type parents, have paid or made charitable contributions to some guy that has access to all the prestigious universities. We're talking UCLA, Yale, Stanford. And what they're paying for are fake test scores, like forged entrance scores, and fake athletic records. For example, Lori Lachlan is alleged to have made a $500,000 contribution to get her daughter into the Southern California University rowing team. Now, her kid doesn't know about this. This is the thing. The kids don't know.
And neither of the girls even ended up on the rowing crew.
I mean, imagine if you weren't even a rower. And then, boom, you're on, like, one of the best universities rowing team. And you're like, thanks, mum.
So Lori Lachlan's paid about, it's equivalent of 700,000 Australian. Felicity Huffman, apparently around the 20K Aussie mark to participate in a college entrance exam. That was a cheating scheme on behalf of her daughter. But there are some people in this who have paid up to $6 million to get their kid into the top tier uni.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. Like, the FBI, the IRS are involved. They're calling this national operation Varsity Blues.
It really
I love
is.
It how they give it code names. Like, love it so hard. They're talking about a $35 million fraud scheme. Now, the universities aren't aware of it. This is done by one particular individual that has access to people who are happy
to accept bribes, like athletic coaches or university admin folks.
That's right. So, the actual universities aren't a part of this. But, oh, God, I just hate everything about this. I think this speaks of privilege. I think this speaks of parents actually, you know, it's the ones with the money that can pay for the world's best education. Yeah. And I just hate everything about it.
Well, it's that desperation that you kind of think your child can only succeed if they've got a ripper university or school name attached to their degree.
I just think in this day and age, and Scotty, I know that you're a big fan of who's that entrepreneur guy that everybody bangs on about?
Don't give him a platform.
Don't call
You're wearing his shoes.
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah. If you're familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk and what he preaches, is that university shouldn't be your starting point. In this day and age, you can make it in any way, right? Scotty's got a fact. You can. Like, people,
no, 100%.
People don't need to have these prestigious universities behind them. Or
in Australia, I think it comes down to more of a school system. Like, that's where parents put their energy in schools and making big charitable donations to
school. I know, but it just seems so old. And do we, like, I remember my parents were like, you girls are going to public school. In a country like this, you don't need that prestige behind you all the time. I mean, when are we going to shake it?
I think the reality of this is, the funny reality of it is that if you are treated like that, like, you know, we'll just pay to get you the best. When it's time for you to go out on your own, you're just going to expect that someone's going to open the checkbook and you're going to get what you need.
Apparently the kids don't know their parents did this. Can you imagine how embarrassed you would be if you found out, like if I found out that Beryl had been on the phone to my uni asking for some fake entrance exams to get me in? Oh my God, the humiliation. I'd be like, I can do this on my own, Mum. I've got this.
Yeah, I think, ugh.
It's icky. I mean, it's desperate housewives, literally.
I'm surprised to see these two women as part of this ring because I just think, wow. Honestly, why have kids?
They're expensive, especially if you've got to add bribes into it.
Oh, my God.
They cost enough as it is.
Now wouldn't be a good time to tell you about Beryl's phone call to our big boss, would it?
Oh, God, is that how I got this job? Oh, my God. That makes so much sense.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Hello. Again, you've come out the other side. Welcome back. We've been impersonating Frank the entire time you've been listening to the show.
I am excited about going to the airport because I just can't wait to eat breakfast. Like, spending your money and eating food there never counts. So I'm ready to drop some dosh and eat and drink to my heart's content, and none of it's going to count.
Yeah, it's you feel like you're on holiday when you're at an airport, regardless of whether you're there flying out, waiting to meet someone, or just going there for the food court.
That's right.
How good's a food court? Isn't it you who hates food courts?
I do hate a food court. I hate everything about it. It's like gastro city. Just waiting to launch on you. Everything about a food court just is so wrong.
Hello.
All the tables. Like, there's no nooks and crannies to hide in. You're just there exposed while you're eating. Who would sit at a food court table? In fact, that's how I judge people. I would never sit at a food court table.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
I would never, ever, 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 ever. Like, it's just so...
Well, the last time we sat at a food court table at the airport together, do you remember I ended up telling off that lady?
Oh, here we go. Here's a story. Please talk, Sarah.
No, it was. It was really upsetting. She was just horrible to her little girl, and she was trying to feed her, and the little girl was just being a toddler.
It was,
she
was a bit like, confronting.
Eat it. You know, what was she saying? She was like swearing at her.
It was bad.
And what did you say?
Well, I said, I just said, hang on, excuse me.
Yeah,
why are you talking to your little girl like that? That is absolutely not acceptable. You're her mother. And then she just turned around and went, no, she's my princess. I'd never speak to her like that. And I was like, I just heard you speaking to her like that. And I have a fundamental issue. If somebody speaks like that to their child in public, imagine what the hell goes on at home.
Yeah,
no, I think good on you for saying it. Did you feel the blood boil? Like, did you really feel the adrenaline?
I really did. And I feel like I've reached that age now where I am happy to just let loose on things like that. What's that saying? The standard you walk by is the standard you accept.
That's how
I feel like I've crossed over into that possibly middle age territory of just being like, not appropriate. Don't do it. Whereas when I was in my 20s, I would have just been like, oh, that was a bit harsh.
My sister is so like ballsy. She was telling me the other day that she was at Woolies and there was an elderly or a middle-aged woman there pushing a trolley of Asian descent and just going about her business, lovely little old lady, right? Some guy, she said, some big, like, you know, some young sort of 30-ish year old man had a go at this lady, and my sister felt that it was 100% because of where she was from, and he just sort of pushed around. He was like, why would you stop there? Mm. Like, why would you just stop there? And she said he was so aggressive. Mm. And she said it had a strong racist tinge to it.
Yeah.
And she couldn't help herself. She just went, she just doesn't mince her. She just went, you are an asshole.
Brilliant.
And he just looked at her.
Yeah.
And she said, you really are. Like, she's,
because I think
and he just went, oh, and she'd left it at that, and the little old lady kind of looked at her, and my sister sort of gave her, shook her head and said, you know, you're doing nothing wrong. You're shopping in a shopping center.
I think it's an interesting thing where you get to a point where you would act in a way that is so societally unacceptable. You obviously in your head are only surrounded by people like that,
that
and you're
allowed.
Like, well, but you're obviously thinking, everyone in the shopping centre is going to think I'm a hero.
Like, no, but you know what it says? Like, that's what I said to my sister. I said, good. She told the story in front of the kids, and I said, good on you for just, you know, calling people out. We don't call people out enough on their bad behaviour. It's like these contestants on Married at First Sight, you know, like Billy went off at Susie and he said, your friends enable your bad behaviour. They say that that's just the type of person she is. That's her. She has a strong personality. No, you're a nasty, conceited person. There's a difference. Like, enough with saying that people are, oh, you know, she's a bit brash and she tells it how it is, like it's a good thing.
Telling it how it is just means that you don't have a filter.
Well, you can tell it how it is and still be courteous and kind. Mm. Like, you can be someone who just, you know, doesn't beat around the bush and is honest, but isn't rude.
Well,
but
sometimes they're the people who think that just because they have an opinion, it's fact, and that's not how life works.
True.
I'm going to make it my New Year's resolution to call people out more often.
Okay, it's March 13th.
Yeah, then she's going to
let me live my life. You know, I might operate by a different lunar calendar to you.
Oh, no, I get it. Okay? I get it, mate. You just say it like it is.
No, but it's true. You don't know me. You don't know my lunar cycles.
Good grief.
I have a lot of cycles.
Do you know what my favorite thing is? Is when you take somebody, somebody says something that's wrong, like factually incorrect. When you point out to them they're factually incorrect and their reply is, well, that's your opinion and you're entitled to have it and I've got mine. No, it's not an opinion. You're wrong. Anyway, they're my thoughts today.
My 9-year-old has started calling me sister. And I must say, I don't hate it.
All right.
You know,
sister?
When you talk about enabling behaviour.
I made him afternoon tea yesterday. I must say, it was delightful. A big jug of red cordial. Remember those days when you'd come home from school and there was an actual feast waiting? Like, cold jug of red cordial.
Yeah.
Carrot cake with icing.
Oh.
Some brie, because he loves his brie, and crackers. It was a feast. And he was like, Mum, this is too much. It's too much. You've just gone above and beyond, sister. And I just went, Remy? I don't hate it. You can keep going with that. I kind of dig it.
You wait till he does it around Dane.
Hey, bro.
Do not call your mother sister.
No, he's got to call Dane bro.
Yeah, if he calls Dane, Dane's
not
going
to call Dane bro, believe me.
What's going on, bro?
Although they were.
Hey, bro, you want to ride the bikes, bro?
Bro, made my call. Jump out there.
Although he did say,
hey, sister. Can you make us some cordial? Bro and I are riding the bikes. I mean, this is what's happening in your family.
He did say to Dane last night, he was like, Dad, can I shoulder charge you?
Oh, gosh.
And Dane was like, sure. So that's what happened after dinner.
So how was the hospital trip?
So Remy, like Twiggy Remy against Dane, 6'4", 112 kilos. Remy's like shoulder charging him. And I was like, okay, this isn't going to end well. And then Dane's like, I'm going to show you how to do it properly. You've got to get your hip into it.
Oh, gosh.
And this is my life.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So proper shoulder charge. I mean, look, he may as well learn how to do it right, because if you do it wrong.
Oh, well, yes. Learn from one of the best.
That's right.
For sure.
That is right.
Let's finish with today's podcast. Have a great flight to Sydney.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear how the Qantas Club is.
We'll make a detour via the food court.
You know, we don't need to be snooty. We will travel however it takes.
Oh, okay.
We don't have standards.
I don't travel without a lounge, so I mean, we've all got our things.
You don't know struggle.
All right.
Bye.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.